are on the air on this Wednesday, August the 18th, 2021, 18 minutes past the hour, joined by Glenn Topol here, and I think maybe in hour number two we're going to have another guest join us, which will be a lot of fun. All kinds of news and views represented on this program.
Is Santa Claus coming in?
Could be. It is that it's getting close. Four or five months away now?
Yeah, it's mid-year Christmas, I guess.
Well, there's all kinds of stuff to talk about today. Okay. We certainly are at no lack of things to talk about. Just start now. I know you didn't know the man, George Turoff, but hearing the last hour, 73 years of business here in Marion, and I can't think of any restaurant that went that long.
Well, the question you ask, was there a restaurant that's gone that? And I was only being slightly facetious when I came in and said McDonald's. But McDonald's probably as close as any place because it's been in business for 50 years or something like that.
I'm being asked, do you want a coffee?
You're being asked that?
Yeah. Do you want a coffee?
If they can put a Splenda in it. Two Splendas if it's a big one. I get paid by Splenda, by
apparently. But I'm trying to think of any that continuously was open in Marion 73 years, or any right now that's continuously open that's even approaching.
I came here in 04, and like I told you off the air, I don't know of any restaurant that's been around since I came here in 04.
Well, the one that I can think of is Perkins, which is
not a local.
Well, it's locally owned.
Okay.
But even that...
So is McDonald's. So.
Well, right.
Well, no, this McDonald's, this McDonald's corporate, yeah.
Well, I don't know. If you're just an absolutely local restaurant...
There's nothing.
No, I can't think of any. Not a one. And I don't even know before that if there were any.
How long was George Casotas open?
He was open a long time, but... it was several different type of places.
That's right.
Yeah, the home cafe he ran, I think, with his mother, and then they changed that to, there was one in between there, and then he wrapped up doing the Cafe George, which was kind of like a barish type of restaurant.
Yeah, that was over on Main Street?
Yeah. So, there's that. I don't know. I just can't think of any. And I don't know that George started that early, 1919.
It's really got to be tough right now, in the last 30 years, to own a local restaurant bar in a smaller town because you've got so many competitors that come in like Applebee's and, all spectrum of restaurants from expensive to McDonald's. McDonald's is getting expensive, though.
They all are. They're all on the upswing.
My wife and I only eat out when coupons go.
Yeah. So if you do want to say anything in regard to George Turoff's passing at 91, good long life.
Was that his original? That the family original name Turoff? It doesn't sound Greek.
Originally, when it opened in 1919, it was Turoff, and his uncles opened it. So yeah. Okay. I believe so.
Cool.
Turoff.
Okay.
So if you have anything to say about that, give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. And you could have worked with George Turoff at the hospital because he was there until about 8 years ago cooking the food.
I may have had his food while I was laying in bed recovering from my heart attack.
You very well might have. George Turoff was out there cooking at the hospital. Couldn't retire. Didn't want to hang it up.
I kind of understand that. I think I've told you the story. When I had my heart attack, I went back to work, and things got, make a long story short, if I can. I retired, and I hated it. I hated it for the first 3 or 4 months, and then a psychologist told me, you've got to get out of your house and go do something. And that's when I started running for office.
What a thing to do.
Yeah.
Now, Our guest is going to be here in just a couple of minutes, so well, earlier than I thought.
The coffee's coming.
Yeah, the coffee's lucky you.
Yeah, so that's better than this.
So that's one thing, the great George Turoff. And we'll ask this person who's coming, because I'm sure he remembers Turoffs very well. So we'll bring that back up. We'll swing back there. But in the meantime, let's just touch a little bit about Afghanistan, because that's going to be the topic of your program today.
Yeah, part of it, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just shocked that people are shocked that the Taliban's back in power.
I think everybody knew that the Taliban would come back in power, and I think the current administration knew that was going to happen. Everybody is shocked at the speed that it happened, and I think the reason, and you and I were talking off the air, I'm a little disappointed in the way Biden kind of stepped aside and blamed it on the fighting forces of Afghanistan, but it really is their fault because they allowed them to come in, but who thought they were not going to allow them to come in?
The problem, as I said off the air, and I don't have a problem with saying this on air, Biden's speech was bad, and I have to say I was impressed the first 5 minutes when he said, you know, Harry Truman, the buck stops here. I said, okay, well, I like somebody who even in their foibles takes credit. But then he went on almost within minutes and blamed the Afghan army after he said he was going to take all the blame. I didn't like that. And then he, I still, maybe I misheard it, but he said what it came across to me was he was going to protect the women and children, and I don't know how he's going to do that.
I listened to the whole speech, and I quite frankly didn't remember that part, but you remember what you want to remember, right? But I don't think Biden would have been so aggressively, what am I saying, so defensive if the Republican leadership hadn't jumped on like crazy people to blame it on him, right and left, all of them, all simultaneously screaming, it's his fault, when in fact, their president probably started the downfall, the quick downfall.
But you know, that's politics, and yeah. Biden knows that.
Yeah, but and that's why I think he got back and said, but, you know, and gave his...
Right, but I, at some point, as we've talked about the last few weeks, somebody's going to have to break, even if it's to their detriment. And I would think a 78-year-old man would be the one to do it.
And I think he did. I agree with you. I was a little disappointed that he backpedaled a little bit, but I understood why he backpedaled. But and being a Democrat, obviously I would say that. But I think it was interesting to listen to some of the nighttime people talking about one of the, it was either Rachel or it could have been Ali, whatever his name is. Anyway, they were saying that there was a 40-year-old or a 35-year-old reporter who was saying that this was so much like Vietnam. I would like to grab that person by the ears and take him back when I had my draft card and didn't know what was going to happen to me. It's nothing like Vietnam.
Now, Vietnam from our perspective or Vietnam from their perspective? Now, I can see the comparison to Vietnam in that as soon as we pulled out, the people we'd been propping up, the South Vietnamese, were done.
And that's the lesson we have to learn. We can't go in and prop up all these countries. Let them die on their own or survive on their own. War is nasty, and the fact that we got into war, which I think wasn't it Bush that started that or got us into that?
Well,
war?
You know what? And nobody, I will give Bush his due on this one. Nobody criticized him for going to Afghanistan.
No, because we had just come through 9/11.
Months, yeah. And people said you got to do something.
Yeah, which. We need to learn the lesson. If you do something, you're going to get your butt kicked. It just happens because the people in that country don't want us. They didn't want us there.
Well, Iraq's a whole nother thing, but the same thing happened. As soon as we pulled out, our propped up army just gone.
Yeah, the helicopters roaring over the top of the airport to come take people off was very similar to the helicopter landing on the embassy in Vietnam.
But the problem in Afghanistan is this, and this is where I think there is a difference. Probably us going in and overthrowing the Taliban in 2001, because we did that very quick, probably did make the world safer for terrorism for those 20 years. Yeah. So I don't know that it was a bad idea, but the idea that as soon as we left, they weren't coming back, well, that's fictitious.
So your choice is don't do it and let terrorism reign, or do it, stop terrorism for 20 years, and then have an ugly outing to get the heck out.
Well, I tell you what, I do think in this case the Afghan war was not a bad decision because very few lives were lost. It did get Osama bin Laden out of Afghanistan. It did get the Taliban pretty much disabled for 20 years. And it did make us much more aware of terrorism. And I think we're smarter in fighting it now. And we did get a lot of those guys who we sent to Guantanamo Bay. Most of those people came from Afghanistan that were killed or sent to Guantanamo Bay and put on trial. So I do think the Afghan war had...
A lot of them weren't put on trial, by the way. They're still there. But go ahead.
But some were. Some were. Yeah, so. But I don't think that it was... hard to think that as soon as we left, the Taliban was coming back in. So that I don't, I'm confused on why we thought that wouldn't happen.
Oh, I think I think even the current Bush administration and the previous Trump administration knew it was going to happen.
Right, but I guess with Vietnam, you don't want to say that nothing had purpose. I don't know that any purpose came from Vietnam. I don't know that any purpose came from Iraq. I do think purpose came from Afghanistan.
I'm trying to think if after the war was over, the Vietnam War was over, the one purpose is that I got to sing in the Army Field Band.
Oh, there you go. But did the world change for us in any way by being in Vietnam?
It could have. We could have learned some lessons. I don't think we did. I think we did exactly the same wrong thing.
Iraq. Did anything come from that?
Same thing.
But I say Afghanistan, I think terrorism got smarter, our forces. I do think disabling the Taliban's finances and things of that nature was smart.
Okay, but in 5 years, you're going to have to say that to me again. Because I don't believe in 5 years we'll find that it didn't just go back to the same crap as it was before.
Well, I don't know. I think we are smarter toward terrorism, much the way we're smarter toward what goes on in foreign affairs. Like, for example, World War I and World War II happened within 20 years of each other. Mm-hmm. Okay, World War I, we won the war, we didn't get the message, we didn't get nations on our side. So when World War II happened within 20 years, we did get the United Nations, and since the early 1940s, we haven't had a world war. I think we learned a lesson. And the lesson I think we learned here was, I think we had before went over and bombed places and did things in Iraq. In 90, we did it with the first Iraq war, Desert Storm. I think we did it under Reagan. What's the little war we had during Reagan's administration? He wasn't the Gulf. He was who did he get involved with? Lebanon? Was it? And the Iran.
That's about the time that they got rid of what's-his-face.
Well, and Gaddafi. We had an issue with him, and also with Iran, certainly. But we didn't seem to learn from those things, so then our World Trade Center got bombed. And I think this time, even though Afghan has happened, I don't think we'll have that again. I think we're much smarter in counterterrorism. I think we take the memos more seriously.
Like I said, I'm going to ask you that question in 5 years.
Yeah, I don't know. I think people probably said that when the United Nations was formed, too. They said, well, World War III is coming.
Well, and a lot of people hated the United Nations when it was started because they thought, well, it's just a bunch of liberals sitting around talking about things. Well, I'm a firm believer and a firm liberal that war is bad. There is no good war. World War II wasn't good. World War II did what it had to do, but it wasn't a, We killed millions of people. I think war is bad, and that's the lesson we need to learn. And I don't believe we ever will, because I believe there are bad people in the world that want to be in charge.
I don't know if there are bad leaders who now could get the traction that Hitler got, because Hitler got his traction because there was nobody to stop him.
Well, I talked to a lady who was in her 90s when I was running for office, and she said to me that Trump was exactly like Hitler. And she had grown up in Germany and escaped with her life because she happened to be Jewish. Yeah, I think there are people just like Hitler. Hitler got lucky, or unlucky for us. I think Trump could have done the same thing if the thing on January 6th had gone his way. He might have been dictator for life. Who knows?
But you see, we had safeguards.
We didn't really. Well, we did a little. But thank goodness.
Well, I mean, nobody was. Even got close to taking over the government.
I don't know about that. I think we'll find out later that they were a lot closer than we thought. But the thing that saved us this time, where there were a few good people, and there still are a few good people.
I don't understand what storming the Capitol. See, here's the thing. Were they unprepared as a building security? Yes. But they. And I don't want this to happen, but they could have burned the Capitol down. That's not overthrowing our government. It wouldn't happen like that.
If they had stopped the vote to allow the Electoral College to allow them to vote in favor of Biden, and that had started the domino effect where Arizona had done it, and then Pennsylvania had done it. So if that had started that domino effect, which it didn't get to, thank goodness, I think we'd be talking out of a different side of our mouth today.
I don't know, because I think you have to be a dictator to get that.
I think he wanted to be.
I don't.
I know that's a conspiracy theory edged story.
Well, I'm just saying, I think you have to take your political adversaries hostage. I think as long as they're roaming around and they've got free speech, you're not going to do that. And also, our government is multi-layered in that we have three branches. You know, if the Senate had not done their job, I believe that the Congress would have, and I believe that the Supreme Court would have done something. I don't think the problem with dictators is dictators come to countries that are not democracies. You know, the people aren't free. So when the dictator comes in, he has a great heavy hand over those people already.
I believe Germany was set up as a democracy after the Weimar, whatever his name was killed.
It didn't have the
length of being a democracy that we
I don't
had.
Think it had the safeguards that we have. I don't think there was a Supreme Court. I don't think there
well, I'm
was.
I'm sure there was a Supreme Court. And the reason why I'm sure is I just watched a show on.
But I don't think it was all powerful.
They pulled the teeth right out of it, right off the bat.
Yeah. And I don't think that they had.
We could do that here. There is opportunities that Biden, if he wanted to, could add three more Supreme Court justices and make it more even.
Well, people thought Roosevelt was a dictator.
Yeah.
Because he stayed in office longer.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that's a dictator, because there are still people who safe. Well, I mean, the Trump thing to me is going a step too far, because all the legislation that he tried to get through was stopped. Now, a dictator wouldn't put up with that.
It was only stopped out front. There are a lot of things that went on behind the scenes that continued and still are. As a matter of fact, this he was the one that pretty much gave the go-ahead to the Taliban to come on in. So there are a lot of things that are still going on.
But I think that obviously we've got to stop propping up governments.
Yes, we do. And we have to quit thinking that if we kill enough people, we'll be in charge. Because that's what dictators think.
Well, I don't know. I think Hitler is in an area by himself. I think the madness and the...
you might have to go back to the Roman Empire.
Yeah. I just... When people compare people to Adolf Hitler, I think... You're going to have to show me a lot more evidence.
Because I look a lot like you. I used to look a lot.
Well, not looking. I'm talking about personality traits and what they do. I don't think anybody has ever come close to the psychopathic nature that he had.
Well, I do. That's right. No, in my major in college, as you know, was speech and drama. And in drama, I had to do, for a final exam, I had to do a makeup thing. And I did Quasimodo, who is the Hunchback of Notre Dame. And for my second one, I did Hitler. And I looked just like Hitler. I even had a little mustache like this. I shaved the edges off. And I had my hair combed like his. And I was thin back then. And I looked just like him. It was scary.
That's a bad look.
It was a very bad look.
Bad look. Bad look. But, you know, there is... So the Afghan thing is what it is. And
yeah,
here we go.
I just hope we can learn from this. I'm not sure we are smart enough as a human. We are nothing but, in my opinion, we are nothing but animals anyway, and we respond like animals respond almost in every case. And I think we will respond the way we always have responded. We will say how terrible it is that they're doing bad things to people over there, and somebody will get all mad, and the hardliners will want to go back in and kill somebody, and so we'll eventually go back in and kill people, and then we'll get in another war, and we'll try to prop somebody else up. If you don't learn from your mistakes, you're not going to move forward, and we don't seem to learn.
Well, it's interesting to me because there seems to be two theories of thought in this country, that we are just wrong all the time, and then and then there's the theory of thought that we are a good country that occasionally does wrong things.
And being a liberal, I will step in and say I'm the second choice.
But see, a lot of times the problem with, I'm going to say, Democrats, because mm-hmm. this whole liberal conservative thing, I don't even know what that means anymore. Progressive has come in there, and I don't know how that's different than anything else.
They're all just words.
Words. So I'm going to say Democrat. The reason Democrats get a lot better reputation here.
Better?
Worse. Worse. Worst reputation.
It's because they can't speak English.
Can't speak English, that's right. Worst reputation is because they criticize the country a lot, which is okay, but at some point, criticism, you know, it's just like an employee. You can't beat up on the employee every day, day in and day out, and never tell them anything good about themselves.
Right.
It's going to look bad.
I absolutely agree with you. There are... there tend to be, especially right now, especially amongst my fellow progressives, there are a lot of people that are blaming rather than correcting. We should correct things. If there's something wrong, keep your mouth shut and change it.
Well, here's what I don't like, and this is on the state level, and people will understand this. Yesterday, Governor DeWine mm-hmm. probably cost himself the election.
Okay, what did he do yesterday?
Well, yesterday he came out and held a press conference because of coronavirus, and he said, I don't have the power to make mask mandates anymore because of the legislature.
I saw that.
But I'm begging you, schools, think about it. Put them in. That's essentially what he was saying. That's a paraphrase.
And apparently there was an argument at the school board then.
And there was. And he knows his party is the party of no masking right now, certainly in Ohio. He was very brave yesterday in doing that, saying that. But you know what? I didn't hear one Democrat in Ohio of any consequence.
Oh, I was going to say something, but I don't have any consequence.
No, but no consequence. But I'm just saying, where was the Democratic Party backing him? Where was...
Crushed under the gerrymandering of the Republican Party.
No, you know, I'll tell you where they were yesterday. Where they were was, we're in a gubernatorial race, and we got to win, so we can't, even if we agree with him, we'll bash him when he does something wrong, and there's no problem doing that. They'll send out press releases the second he does anything wrong. But if he agrees with us, if he's doing something brave, well, we're just silence is golden.
Well, as a
but do you not agree with that statement?
No, well, I don't agree with it personally. No, I welcome the idea of the government or the governor saying that he supports the mask wearing. I think we should all. I'm going to wear my mask to the to my grocery store today.
But with his party, how bad do you think that hurt him yesterday?
Well, since his party only has 40% of the population, but 60% of the votes, which I gerrymandering helps out, I think he's in trouble with his own party.
Well, but in Ohio, I don't know, because Ohio, we elect by popular vote the governor.
No, I'm not going to argue with you because I don't have the statistics.
But don't we? I mean, we elect the governor by popular vote.
I'm going to have to defer to. I'm going to look it up.
I know we do because we've been here on two gubernatorial election nights, and governor is popular vote.
Okay.
Yeah. So apparently in Ohio, we tend to popularly elect Republican governors.
I'm going to have to look that up. I really don't know.
No, we do. We do. Trust me.
Well, no, I'm not sure the fine line on whether it's popular or whether there is a way to make popular. And yes, it could be popular if you've gerrymandered all the voting things so that you're popularly voted in X county, so you win that county. I don't know. Do you mean that there's one person, one vote?
Yeah.
Okay.
For governor.
Okay.
And long before gerrymandering.
Maybe that's why we've had fairly decent governors.
Well, but long before any of this, I mean, DeWine is a Republican. Kasich was a two-term Republican. You had Strickland, Democrat, one term. Mm-hmm. Before him, you had Taft, who was a two-term Republican. You've had Rhodes, who was governor forever, who was Republican. So long before gerrymandering, we were electing Republican governors.
Okay, all right.
Voinovich was a Republican.
I will give you that. I really didn't know that. But I really believe that Ohio is not a very good example of the country.
No, but
it's a rural...
Right, but in this conversation, what I'm saying is, for his office and how it's elected, that hurt him yesterday.
Okay.
So,
I'm a Democrat, and I'll say I think he did a good job by doing that.
Right, but the Democrats in power in this state running against him certainly aren't going to do that. And I would think in the case of a pandemic, Nan Whaley would be right there saying, "Yes, Governor DeWine, I agree with you," but she's not going to do that because.
Yeah,
it's an election.
And one of the things I learned running for office is how disappointed I am in the Ohio Democratic Party because they didn't help me at all. They really were really happy that I was running because they were trying to get one person in all 88 counties. But the only reason why they were happy that I was running is I filled that slot. They didn't help me a bit, and I'm afraid... The Democrats are kicking themselves in their own teeth right now.
Well,
they have been for quite a while.
You know what? Governor DeWine certainly has got his picadillos with the whole First Energy thing.
Yeah.
But I think his gubernatorial ship is going to be looked on during this pandemic. You know, get a little time in between. You know, he's really taken some very... brave against his party stances that I don't know that most governors would.
Well, and his predecessor also took some brave stances like that and was hated by the president.
Yeah, but you know, in his second term when he had nothing to lose. Go back and look at Kasich for term number one. He is the guy who tried to bust up the unions here in Ohio, tried to get rid of collective bargaining.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he became very different. In the second half. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, is this Scott?
Yeah.
Scott, this is Kirk Minahan, the Kirk Minahan Show at Barstool. How are you? Live on tape.
Good, good.
Scott, let me ask you a question from me to you. Like, could you have been, you had Cosby on. Like, do we bring up the rapes at any point? Or is it,
what in the world was that?
I don't know.
Was that a guy on air?
It sounded like it. Yeah.
Well, we're on the air. I'll be glad to talk to that guy off the air, but we're on the air here right now. I think he was on the air.
I think, yeah, and I think he didn't know you. Here he comes again, I bet.
Okay, we'll try this again. Now, I just want to let the caller know we are on the air here. You can say whatever you want as long as it's within the FCC guidelines, but I wasn't sure if you knew we were on the air, so go ahead.
Oh, Scott, is it me again?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so Scott, first of all, great interview, because I was curious. The one thing I was wondering during the Olympics, I watched a lot of it, was what does Bill Cosby think about it? So thank you for getting the answer to that. Secondly, you have the most prolific rapist in the history of America, and you don't ask him a question about that? I'm not Dr. Journalism here, okay? No PhD, my friend. But, like, what are you thinking?
Now, are you on the air?
Yeah, live the tape, I said. Yeah, we're
live the tape. Okay. Now, what radio station are you with?
I'm with Barstool Radio. It's a podcast.
Well, it's a podcast. Oh, so, okay, give me the question again.
Okay. First of all, as I said, I appreciate you asking Bill Cosby all the important questions about Bill Cosby. But, you know, again, he is, I think, by every account, I don't know if you paid attention, maybe you just don't know. Maybe you, like, have been in a time machine since 1988. The last time you saw him, he was dancing around in a sweater Tempest Bledsoe. Well, yeah. But this guy raped, like, you know, hundreds of women, and you're sitting there, you know, tickling with him and you know, playing a little, like, joke game. Isn't it a little strange? Am I missing it here?
No, I think what you're referring to, and I think I said this to the newspapers when I spoke to them, was that I knew he was not going to answer questions about that. That he is involved in civil lawsuits. I believe there was a big story about that last week, which he plans to plead the fifth in these civil lawsuits, I do believe. I think that was the news story last week. He had no intention to answer any of those questions. So it was either put Bill Cosby on and...
Yeah, but why put him on at all then? Let me ask you a question, Scott. Let me ask you a question.
You gotta let me answer the questions.
But one second. Do you think that Cosby committed these acts? Yes or no?
Do I think he did? I think as a journalist, I should not judge anybody or tell anybody who I vote for.
No. Jesus, Scott. Come on, Scott.
Mm-hmm. No, that's the answer.
He was proven.
So. I guess, do you have any moral objection to putting him on the air knowing he did these awful things?
Do you think that he did these acts?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think that you saying that right now in a public forum that he's ever going to come on your show and you're going to get ask these questions that you said I didn't ask?
That is true. So as opposed to that, I can have him on my show and ask him about the Olympics? I don't want to ask Bill Cosby about the Olympics. I don't care. First of all, he was terrible on your show. Secondly, all I care about, if I had Bill Cosby on, is what he did and didn't do. That's it. That's all anybody cares about.
Well, let me ask you a question.
I appreciate you had Robert Culp on, all these people, great stars, totally get that, and congratulations on your anniversary. But when you have Bill Cosby on, as a journalist, as a broadcaster, that is, of course, your duty to ask him that question.
Right, why do you think he came on here and nowhere else?
Because you knew you were gonna kiss his ass.
Well, I don't think I did that. And I think, again, why do you think that the newspapers across the country, including the USA Today, covered it if it wasn't news? If it was a fluff interview, as you say.
The news is hilarious. The news is that you didn't ask certain questions. The news isn't anything you did, Scott. It's what you did.
I think the headline says Cosby Gibbs first post-prison interview or something to that effect. I don't think it said didn't ask the questions.
But within the stories they do, and I read those, I'm sure you did too. So if we had on, I don't know, let's say Kevin Spacey came on my show, okay? Like, I could certainly have him on and tell him how much I liked House of Cards and The Usual Suspects and Seven. And then if I didn't ask him questions about his situation, would it get pressed? Sure it would. But I would be embarrassed about it. I wouldn't think I did a good job.
Well, again, I think that journalism is lost in our country right now. I think we know how every journalist feels about everything because they editorialize all the time. And that's why certain political groups will not go on stations. And I think that you do not want a judgmental journalist. If you knew how I felt about Bill Cosby before I interviewed him, if you knew how I felt about murderers, how many people have interviewed Charles Manson? I mean, okay, let's get real.
I'm not even asking you to editorialize. You can do it without an opinion. You can just ask him, how was the prison experience? How was this? How was that? What did you think about the trial? What did you think about one of his victims just died? I mean, you could ask him 3,000 questions.
Right, as I said again,
express your opinion.
I knew.
Instead, you're asking him about the Olympics and about, you know.
Well, I didn't ask him about the Olympics. He started talking about the Olympics. I didn't ask about the Olympics.
You called him an educator, a teacher.
I believe he does have an education degree.
Some of those doctorates are gone. You know that, right? Why are they gone?
I don't think his degree that he did earn is gone.
Well, okay, but some of the doctorates.
Honorary? Yeah, some of the honorary are gone, but the honoraries don't make you an educator.
Why are they gone, Scott? What happened?
Well, he was accused of rape and imprisoned.
He went to jail.
I didn't know that.
He went to jail for it. The only time I ever listened to it was, like I said, it was like I was in a time.
We're going around in a circle here. I guess what the question you're saying is, why did I not pressure this man
on crimes that he's
been accused of? Huh?
Right.
Right. And I think I have said to the newspapers and to you that I knew he was not going to talk about those. Absolutely knew it. He's involved in civil trials. I could have said, no, Bill Cosby, don't come on the show. I know you can't talk about that. Stay home. But you know what? He came on. I never asked him about the Olympics. That's misstated. He started talking about it. That was not a question of mine.
Okay.
And I don't think that a journalist should tell you whether they believe in somebody's innocence or guilt. What kind of journalist is that? Would Walter Cronkite come on at 6:30 every night and say, well, Nixon's guilty, now let's cover Watergate?
I'm looking forward to next week. I've been told you're doing the 25th anniversary of Shakespeare in Love with Harvey Weinstein. You're going to talk about the entire film, correct?
So somehow having Bill Cosby on reflects on me is what you're saying.
No, absolutely not. I think it's a great get. Having Bill Cosby on and pretending he's not the most prolific rapist in American history is a comment on you. You seem like a good guy. I think we just have a philosophical disagrement.
Do you think Bill Cosby will ever be on another show?
I don't know. Yeah, probably.
Won't have as much fun.
I mean, if he goes on some random show like yours, he'll call somebody else who's gonna promise not to ask questions.
Well, when Bill Cosby has said he would come back on this show when the civil lawsuits are over, if he doesn't, at that point, I will take a stance that I was lied to. But at this point, I don't know that that's a lie. And he has said he would come back on and talk about those things when the civil lawsuits were over. And I just hope that you go with the fervence at anybody else who has him on, because I know he's got a list of invitations to come on shows right now.
Well, last question for you about interviews. Do you regret asking O.J. Simpson about the Buffalo Bills offensive line? Do you think that was too tough a question in retrospect or no?
Do what? I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
Simpson. We had O.J. Simpson on. You asked him about...
No, I didn't have O.J. Simpson
Kennedy
on.
Was a nice guy in the set of the Naked Gun. Do you feel like that was too tough a question or no?
I never had O.J. Simpson on.
Okay, well, I guess I have information wrong. All right, Scotty, we'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, there you go. I guess, and again, somebody calling in like that, again, proves the news of what that interview was. Well, Glenn, what do you think? That was spontaneous.
I'm dumbfounded.
Gary Tackett has joined us, by the way, in the middle of all that.
I'm dumbfounded because he thinks he's a news person, but he's doing a podcast, which means he's really a critic.
And calls a live radio show unannounced when I did not know it was coming.
And says you're bad because you didn't lambaste everybody knew that he lost that case. He got out because of technicalities. I don't know. I was proud that you had him on. I'm not proud that I used to watch Bill Cosby, but I used to watch him because I liked the show, you know.
Terry, what do you think?
Well, I mean, obviously, I think by you having him on, I mean, it was a terrible thing that he did, but I mean, I agree with you. The stance that you took, you know, going into those things, they're not going to talk about their...
No, it was made very clear to me that he is in a civil lawsuit and he is not going to talk about that.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do, ask him and have him hang up the phone?
Right. I mean, to get 15 minutes of the man's time, I mean, you know.
I wonder if that guy listened to the interview, because I never asked the man about the Olympics. He started talking about it, but I never said, Bill Cosby, what do you think of the Olympics?
It was kind of interesting that he he admitted that he was wrong. Maybe he didn't pay attention to enough stuff, you know?
I guess there are. I knew this would be a controversial interview, but if you think I'm going to come on and condemn anybody, I'm not going to do that because journalists are not supposed to do that.
Yes, and you and I have disagreed on your position occasionally because I will say what I believe about certain things, but I'm not a newsman. And you have always said to me that's your stance, and I'm proud that you do that.
Well, I would just like to know all the people who've interviewed Charles Manson, from Geraldo Rivera to Tom Snyder.
Now, there is a real newsman.
Okay. Well, but how many people walked into those interviews and said, Charles, you're guilty? No, you don't do that. Your job as a communicator, and certainly as a journalist, is to give people information for them to make a judgment. And somewhere this has got lost, maybe in the world of podcasts and cable networks where everybody's got an opinion. That's not your job. Now, if your job is to editorialize, fine. Yeah. Go ahead and editorialize all day long. But you are not a journalist.
That's why we have my show, A Progressive Life, so that I can editorialize about things. And that's why you call yourself, and I agree with you, that you're a newsman. I think newsmen should not bring in.
Well, let me just ask you this, because we're about to go to break. Bill Cosby calls you and says, I'll do your show, first interview I've done since being released from prison. Nobody in the world doesn't know Bill Cosby, first of all, but I can't talk about jail. Do you say, Bill, no, you're not coming on? What do you say?
Well, that's a wasted conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You say, of course you're having Bill Cosby on.
Why would that even become, I mean, you still want him.
Yeah. Why would you not? First time people have heard from him since he's released from prison.
And everybody wants to hear other stuff other than,
right,
we know you're guilty.
Right. Right.
It's been proven in court.
People know the story. You know, do we have to repeat it all the time?
Exactly.
And people will either buy a ticket to see Bill Cosby or not buy a ticket. I don't... It's not my job to tell you to buy a ticket or to not buy a ticket. People have their own brain. You know, there used to be a city block in Cleveland, Scripps Howard, that said, show people the light and they will find their own way. You don't have to tell people. How many times did Donnie, you have the Ku Klux Klan on? How many times did Oprah have the Ku Klux Klan on? How many times have we had white supremacists on shows? How many times have we had these people who we consider to do awful things on shows? Gaddafi, Barbara Walters interviewed Muammar Gaddafi, Larry King had on Gaddafi. You know, sometime Menendez brothers, Barbara Walters interviewed the Menendez brothers.
Yeah. And didn't say to them, how come you killed your parents?
Yeah. How come you killed your parents? Well, you know what? That's that. We're going to come back and maybe talk some more, but I appreciate the whoever that was who called in, and I'm sure we'll be hearing from them very, very soon. Thanks for them for calling in. Phyllis Diller and Jane Meadows and all the great guests we've had over the last 5 years. But today, making a very special appearance with us, is a gentleman who's been on before.